The series is The Journey Deeper. Our theme this year is going deeper. But many times we have a good intention to go deeper, but we never actually go deeper. And I really felt strongly in my heart to do this series right here towards the end of the year, which would give us an impetus to actually make the journey. Not just talk about it, to make the journey. And my desire is that we will change our good intentions into being intentional. It's not good enough to have good intentions. We need to be intentional about this. And so my desire for myself, because I'm preaching to myself, I need to do this. I can stand here and share knowledge, but you know, unless I myself am going deeper. Now, we're not going to arrive in 7 weeks, but my hope and my goal is that we are on our way. And we know where we're going, and we have done the following. Here's the 7 weeks. We're going to talk today about setting the destination. Next week, we're going to talk about mapping the route. Then we're going to talk about traveling companions. Then the 4th week, we're going to talk about choosing the vehicle. And then we're going to talk about packing your bags. And then we're going to talk about short stops along the way. Now, that is a powerful message right there. In fact, it was the impetus to do this whole series. I was reading, I was studying, and I saw this aspect, and I thought, we've never applied this. And this really is what's going to cause us to make our journey complete. And so don't miss that 6th message when we talk. I'd like to almost share it first, but it sort of sets in the chronological order of being the 6th message. So there's a lot of good insights in that one that we want to share with you. And then finally, what's next? What are we going to do after this as we go forward? So that's where we are at. There's an insert in your bulletin. If you want to take it out, follow along with us today. And we will start with setting the destination. This journey that God wants us to take is one that's for all of us. And the Apostle Paul spoke about his spiritual journey in Philippians chapter 3. And these verses are here written out for you. And I want to read what Paul said about his journey deeper. He says this: all I want now is Christ. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him from death. I don't mean that I am exactly what God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and make it mine. That's what Christ Jesus wants me to do. It is the reason he made me his. Brothers and sisters, he's talking to all of us here. I know that I still have a long way to go, but there is one thing I do. I forget what is in the past and try as hard as I can to reach the goal before me. I keep running hard toward the finish line to get the prize that is mine, because God has called me through Christ Jesus to life up there in heaven. That was Paul's description of his journey. And as I read it over, there were 6 things that spoke to me from his comments that relate to all of us. So fill them in with me as we go. Here's the first thing he said: none of us have arrived. I have not yet reached that goal. Now that's sort of encouraging to me, because if Paul hadn't reached that goal, then it gives me hope that I can say, well, I haven't reached it. And folks, we all know we're not what we know we should be. We know we're not in the place God wants us to be. That there's areas that we haven't explored. There's things we've seen, but we've never really gone there. And so, no, that's okay. As long as you're on the journey towards it. None of us have arrived. We're not there yet. Paul wasn't there yet. But we're all on this journey. You know, the song that they sang during the offering time is our theme song for this series, and we'll be singing it every week. Did you hear how it started off? It said, I could just sit here. I could just sit here and experience what God has for me. It says, I could just stay here and just hope that God's blessing comes upon me. It said, I could hold on and be safe. But he said, that's not what God has called me. He's called me deeper. He's called me higher. There's more for us. There is a potential in you that's unimaginable. We all put ourselves down. We all think, I can't do very much. You can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. There's a power working in us, the scripture says, that will take us beyond. So I don't want you to be content. We can just sit here. We could come Sunday after Sunday, experience some of the blessing of the Lord in our life. We could just sort of not put any effort forward, just stay where we are. But I'm telling you, God's calling us higher. He's calling us deeper. He wants us to walk with him. Now listen, if you walk with God, you can't stay where you are. You know, in business circles, they have a statement, and it's true in life. If you always do the things that you do, you'll always get the things that you've got. If you keep doing the things that you're doing, you'll always keep getting the things that you have. But if we want to go deeper, we have to go higher, then we need to break out of that. We need to actually get on a journey. We're going to actually have to get up and move our feet and walk with the Lord and go deeper with him. And he'll take you into realms that you can't even imagine. He's got that plan for your life. It's for you. It's for all of us. Don't be content. Don't sit back. The scripture warns and says, don't be at ease in Zion. Now, obviously, there's a rest in the Lord, and he's not talking about that. He's talking about an ease where you have no effort put forward. You don't put any energy to the things of God. You just sort of coast. And I'll just sit here. I'll just relax. And we'll never experience what God has for us. So the first thing, Paul recognized it in himself. And he said, I haven't arrived yet. I've not reached the goal. But then he goes on and says this. And here's the second fill-in. Christ wants us to continue deeper. He wants us to continue deeper. He says in verse 12, but I continue trying to reach it and make it mine. That's what Christ Jesus wants me to do. It is the reason he made me his. He's got plans for you. He knows all about you. He's put you exactly where he's put you in life, in the family you're in, the situation you find yourself right now. God knows, but he wants to take you higher. He wants to take you deeper. We're meant to fly. We got on a jet, and a number of us flew to Dallas a week ago. And I thought, as I was sitting on that jet and as they were backing it off out of the gate, there were the people on the ground with the flags, because it's very awkward getting that plane out. And they have to have actually people at the front on the tips of the plane to get it to get out right, because it's awkward, it's cumbersome. And it sort of jerks as it backs out a little bit, and then they got to just rev the engine a little bit till it lurches forward, and it goes out, and it taxis down the runway and around the corner. And once it gets on the ramp, and then the signal goes to the pilot, and he engages the power, and then you just feel yourself sit back in the seat, and it takes off. And once it takes off, the wheels come up. And it travels faster and further than what you could ever imagine once it gets in the air. Now listen, you were made to fly, but many of us have never gotten off the ground. You're a Christian. The Lord's your pilot. But you're still on the runway. It's cumbersome. It's awkward. You don't feel like you can do much. And, you know, you feel thrust from time to time, but what a terrible thing if you tried to stay on the ground in the plane and go all the way to Dallas. I mean, it would eventually get there. Hard, long, try to find the roads, cars passing you. Because a plane wasn't made to be on the ground. It's necessary for it to be on the ground to start, but it was never meant to be that way. I'm afraid that many of us as Christians, we think our Christian walk is just what we've experienced on the ground. We've never gone higher. Now, this phrase of going deeper, going higher, it's just two sides of the same truth. To go deeper in the things of God, but then to fly higher in the things that he wants us to do. And so don't be content. I'm telling you, you can get content. You can think your Christian walk is all there is, and you're really not happy about it. You're not really excited to tell anybody else about it. You're glad that you're saved. You're glad the Lord's the pilot of your life, but you're not experiencing much in your life. You look out the window and you see other people out there, and they don't seem to be, you know, you're not much better than them. Listen, you need to engage the power. You need to say, we're going to take off. We're going to get off the ground here. We're going to go higher. We're going to let this call of the Lord, he's calling us higher. The Lord wants us. This is why he's created us, it tells us. He's got plans for your life that would amaze you. You can fly. Doesn't feel like it when you're on the ground, but you need to get your wheels up. You need to get in the air. You can only go so fast on the ground. Then take off and get the wheels up. And then watch that plane go. Watch it maneuver. It was meant to fly. And so are we. Here's number three. Have a single focus. Have a single focus. Paul said in verse 13, there is one thing I do. Now, here's our problem with our life, folks. We got too many things. So many activities. Involved in so many good activities. We have kids to take places, and we have work, and we've got school, and we've got this and that, and hobbies and involvements, and they just keep more and more. Now, all those things are good, and God wants us to be engaged in them, but the thing is, do you have a single focus in it all? Are you torn one way, another way, another way, and you never really put your energy towards anything? I'm talking about your spiritual energy. Even in the church, there's so many things that we know, well, we could get involved in this, we could get involved in that, and I should pray more, and I should read my Bible, and I should witness, and, oh, I need to be more loving, and I need, you know, you can go on, and it's so diffused that you don't sense any power in it. Paul recognized he needed to focus in. There needed to be one thing. He needed to have a goal that he could focus in on. Now, the light in this room is diffused. And it's sort of good for us that it is. I can see you. The light's bouncing off everything so we can see one another. But really, this light, we don't think it's very dangerous. But if you took all the light in this room and you narrowed it down to a single focus, it would become a laser. And a laser can cut through steel. Many times we're ineffective in our walk, in our life, because we're not focused enough. We've never set a destination. There's like 1,000 things. It's almost like going on like a natural vacation. Where do you want to go? Well, it'd be nice to go and see the Grand Canyon. Well, maybe we should go to Florida. I've never been down east. I'd like to go down east. Oh, maybe we should go overseas. Maybe we should go to Europe. And then some more adventurous. Man, it'd be great to go to Africa and Asia, South America. See, you can daydream about a lot of things, and you know where you're daydreaming? Sitting right on your seat, not moving anywhere. And I think that's how we are as Christians many times. We daydream about things that we could be in the Lord. We hear a message And it's like someone has given us the sales pitch for that destination. And we go, wow, yeah, that would be neat to go there. And we get all excited about it. But, you know, we go home and then we never do anything about it. Because we've never been intentional. We have good intentions, but we've never become intentional. Folks, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to myself. I see it in myself. I see so many things. I hear so many good messages. I read so many good books. I read the Bible and God speaks to me. And if I'm not careful, I can be so diffused that I don't get focused in. And what I want us to do in this first message here today is to get focused and to actually set a destination, a spiritual destination that God lays on your heart and you say, I'm going to be focused on this. I'm going to let some of the other things go, and I'm focusing in on this. And I believe that as you do that, God's power is going to be released to you in ways that you can't even imagine. You see, we need a vision. And the scripture says in Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, when there's no vision, the people perish. Without a vision, that which is in you is perishable. You know, we talk about perishable goods. They rot. They go bad. There are things in you, giftings, talents, abilities, skills, that if you don't focus and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. He said at the very beginning of this, Lord, all I want is you. All I want is you. And you begin to focus, then those things that are within you will be used. And they won't rot, and they won't become smelly. And that's what happens. Our life gets smelly when we use our own talents and abilities for selfish ambition. And we just do it for natural things and carnal things. It was never meant to be that. You were designed the way you're designed for the purposes of God. That's why you're good at spelling, or you're good at math, or you're good at your hands, or whatever it might be. We all have talents. We're all a 10 at something. And you need to understand, those gifts and talents, I don't want them to perish. And without a vision, they're going to perish. Without you seeing what your goal is, and you single-hearted and single-mindedly press towards it, you're going to be distracted by so many things. And I'm praying, God, give us a vision this morning. The second thing, and it's another translation of that same verse, it says, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. We need to have something that allows us to push some other things away. See, something might grab you and start pulling you off, but if you have a vision, you push those things away because I'm restrained, because I'm focused on this. I remember my dad, when I was young, and teaching me how to plow. We had a farm, and I remember this one day, he told me, we were on the tractor together, and he said, now here's how you get a straight furrow. He said, you're at this end of the field. He said, that's how you set that first furrow is going to be the direction. Because you keep plowing from the furrow on out. And he said, now what you need to do is look down the end of the field and pick out a tree or a post and keep your eye on that and keep moving forward and don't look back. Just keep focused on that post. And he said, by the end, when you get to the end, you'll turn around and you'll have a nice straight furrow. I remember my dad, because he said that, and I don't remember him testifying in church in a meeting, and he talked about a time, our front field. We were right on 53 Highway. It was a lot of cars went by, and he said he wanted to make sure that that furrow was straight. And so he did just what he told me. He said, yeah, he's on the tractor. He saw a post on the other end, and he said, I'm going to just go straight for that post. About halfway down the field, he got thinking, I wonder how straight the furrow is. And he turned around and he looked back. Then he came back and he focused on the post and he ended. But when he got to the end of the field, he looked back. And the furrow went down and then it veered off to the side. Because when he looked back, he looked at the wrong post. And Dad said, it wouldn't have been so bad if it was a backfield. It was the front field. And everybody driving by goes, Stan Miles can't even make a straight furrow. And then Dad was talking in his testimony of how we do that spiritually. That we need to keep focused. And don't get sidetracked. Don't let other things pull you off. You just keep your eye on that and you keep moving toward it, and you're going to write, you know, you're going to go a straight way. Here's what number four, and it comes right into this. Here's what Paul said. Forget what is in the past. Forget what is in the past. That's exactly what he said in verse 13. I forget what is in the past. You see, your past needs to inform you, but not form you. And many times, our past forms us. Now, it should inform us. We should learn by our mistakes. We can learn by the things we've gone through. And it could inform us for the future. But many people, they're formed by their past. And they get thinking, I could never do that. I've never been able to do that. That won't work. That person will never change. My marriage will never change. Because you're looking in the past. I could never overcome that addiction. I've tried and I've failed. I could never do it. And Satan loves to speak into you from the failures of your past. Because he wants to form you in that. He doesn't want you to see your potential. He wants to keep you restricted by your past. Now listen, folks, we know this in the natural. That shouldn't be. We know a one-year-old that can't, you know, just learning to walk. They can't do some things at one-year-old. They can do at five. And there's some things they couldn't do at five. They can do at 25. We know we grow and we develop and we get stronger in the natural. But we don't think about that spiritually. We allow our failures and what's been wrong and how we've tried. And you might even be sitting here, oh, I've heard messages on this before. Yeah, it works for a while, but then... See, Satan wants to speak and discourage you. When I was 24, I had the opportunity to go to India for 3 months on a missions trip. And while we were there, I saw this elephant, because they used elephants to do work in those days. When you have a bulldozer and you park it, well, they'd park their elephant. But the way they'd park it is by, I noticed this elephant had a rope around its leg, and then it was attached to a stake in the ground. And as I was there, the elephant would move, and then he would come to the end of the rope, and it would catch, and he would stop and go back. And I said, doesn't the elephant know? I mean, how could a stake in the ground keep that elephant? He could just give it a jerk and he'd be gone. And they said, because he's conditioned. When he was just a little calf, they took a rope and tied it around his leg and tied the other end to a tree. And that elephant would struggle and struggle and struggle trying to get free. And finally, after his leg was sort of chafed and finally gave out, he just learned, I can't beat the rope. So now they can take the rope and just put a stake in the ground, and he's limited. He goes to the end, stops, doesn't even try. That's exactly what Satan does to us. Our failures of the past, he wants to make you think that's how my future will be. And there's no sense trying again. I've tried before. It didn't work. I put effort. I did the very same thing before, and it didn't work. It's like a child learning to walk. They might fall, what, 50, 100 times? Maybe more. What if after the 50th time of trying to walk, you know, the child just said, well, there's no sense. I can't walk. And then you see this 40-year-old man sitting on the floor. And you say to him, why don't you get up? He said, I can't walk. Now, we laugh and smile about that. That's an image we can't even get our head around. But what about spiritually? Are you a 40-year-old spiritual person? And you have limited yourself? Saying, I can't do more. I tried that and I failed. Oh, I had a bad experience with that. Oh, no, I wouldn't be part of a small group. I tried to go to a small group. Didn't work out for me. Or I did this, or I was in that ministry, whatever it can be. The devil's constantly whispering into your ear, you can't do it. He wants to limit you. He doesn't want you to fly. He wants to keep you on the ground. We need to get moving and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not limited. I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I would ask or think, the scripture says. Because we can do all things through Christ. You have potential and ability beyond your imagination. You might not have had it 5 years ago. You might not have had it last year. But keep trying. You're going to walk. Not only walk, you're going to run. And you're going to win the race. If you'll keep forgetting the things that are in the past. Here's number five. Paul said, I strive hard to reach the goal ahead. Verse 13 and 14 says, and try as hard as I can to reach the goal before me. I keep running hard towards the finish line. Running hard. You got to keep an effort forward. Running hard. When I think about this, I have images come back in my mind of running cross country in high school. I was never a good sprinter. Other people could out-sprint me. 100 meter. I wouldn't win because I just naturally was not fast enough. But I found I could win the 2 mile and the 2.5 mile. I could do those cross-country races and I could win. Because it's not dependent upon just the ability to sprint. And we had a great coach. His name was Glenn Sonmore. Some of you might remember older ones. You would remember him as being the coach of the Dallas North Stars at that time, this is a number of years back, and he took them to the Stanley Cup. He was my coach in high school. This is before we all knew he had played hockey, but you know, he was just our gym teacher. But he was the gym teacher for a while, but then he went back into hockey and became a coach. And as I say, I remember sitting here watching him saying, that was my coach. And I see him behind the bench of the team. But he was a great coach. And on those cross-country races, he would take us out to the course. 2.5 miles, and we'd walk it. And he'd say, now don't go off too quick when you start. He said, a lot of them will sprint out. He said, no, you know your pace. You keep going. And he'd say, you know, we're going to come across this. And he would show us. He'd talk the whole race through with us. And then I remember this particular race. We came to this hill. And he said, this is where you're going to win or you're going to lose. He said, when you're tired at this point, you're going to be exhausted. Everybody comes to this hill and sees how far it is, and they get discouraged. But he said, not you guys. He said, this is your chance to excel. He said, this is where you turn it on. He said, you run up that hill. You will pass so many people running up this hill. He got us excited about the hill. And then sure enough, in that race, I remember getting to that point, and that's when I, rather than being discouraged, oh no, this I can't do this. In the back of my mind, this is where you win. This is where, and I can't imagine how many people, I came in second in that race. I can't imagine how many people I passed going up that hill because of being aware, I need to run hard. There's a goal. There's something worthwhile. You got to put an effort into this. Don't think that your spiritual walk just happens by course, that you have nothing to do with it. Listen, God empowers you. He's going to give you the abilities to do things, but you have to put an effort forward. You have to apply yourself. And as you apply yourself, he comes and gives you the ability. But if you get a mindset, oh, I just coast, and it going right back to the song, I could just sit here. I could just sit here and continue to experience the blessings that I have. I can hold on. I can be safe. Or I can say, no. I'm a winner. I can do all things through Christ. I can make a difference. And you begin to put an effort forward. Folks, this is what the small groups are going to do. We're going to put an effort forward as we work through the exercises based on this message. I want you to come out of this message with a goal, a destination. I want you to have a focus. I want you to say, this is one thing I'm going to do. And you're going to have to put an effort forward to do it. You know, so many times we think, well, it's just going to happen. It's not going to just happen. You're going to have to really apply yourself. And here's your final fill in. A prize awaits you at the destination. A prize awaits you at the destination. When I won that race, you got to stand there with the winners. A prize awaits you. What's the prize? Paul said, I'm running, and I'm running hard to get the prize. I think there's different aspects of this. There's a prize that comes by doing God's will. He's got a plan and a purpose. He has something for you. And when you do that, you'll never feel happier, more content, more satisfied, more significant than when you fulfill God's plan for your life. If you're bored, it's usually because you're not working on God's plan. You're working on your own plan. But when you get God's purpose in your heart and it's burning inside of you, then it makes all the difference in the world. Your life is counting for eternity. And you have the sense. That's a prize. That's a natural prize that we get right here on earth. But then there's an eternal prize. The scripture says that you can't give a cup of water to someone that your heavenly Father will not reward you. And there's rewards that we receive in heaven. Now, the Bible says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the works we've done in the flesh. Now, he's not talking about salvation here, because he goes on to say the man himself might be saved, but he suffers loss. What does he suffer loss of? His potential rewards. The things you could have done if you had applied yourself. Remember the story about the man who was given the talents and the one man who had the one talent hid it? Didn't apply himself. What did the master say when he came back? He said, why didn't you work it? Why didn't you put it out? He said, you wicked and slothful servant. Because most of the time, we're just too lazy. When we talk about this, what crossed your mind? I don't want to be part of a small group. That's too much work. I don't want to work through those exercises. I don't want to do that. It's too much work. Now, we may not have thought it consciously, but I think it just sort of rests at our subconscious. Oh, you're too busy. I got this. I can't be involved in that. As if this is something secondary. This is why we're created. You're going to stand before God. Now, listen. This sobers me every time I think about this. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us is going to stand. We're going to give an account of what we've done with the gifts and talents God has given us. Now, what are we going to say? Did you know what your spiritual gift was? And did you apply your talents? Well, no. Was there ever a teaching where that, yes. Why didn't you avail yourself? Well, I was working. I was doing this, and I had this hobby. I mean, every excuse and thing we say now, it's going to sound so empty when we stand before the Lord in light of eternity and we realize we could have made a difference, we could have built the kingdom of God, and it basically comes down to I was too lazy to apply myself. Because he ends by saying, you wicked and slothful servant. I don't want that said in me. I have to talk to myself different times, say, no, this is worthwhile. You need to put your energy to this. And so I'm challenging you today, and as I'm challenging myself, I don't want to go through this going deeper emphasis for the year. And at the end, the Lord says, at the end of the year, you were in that church, you heard message after message about going deeper. Where did you go deeper? I really didn't give it too much thought. I enjoyed the messages. But what did it do for you? How did it change you? Not much. I just continued on. See, this is what sobers me. And we hear, we are Christians. We know God's power. We know he's given us abilities. We know he has a purpose for our life. But we can get so distracted and moved here and there, and we don't focus in. We're so involved in things that are good that we miss out on the best things. And we need to focus and bring our lives into alignment with God's will. There's a prize that waits before us. So we need to set our GPS. You know, you get in the car and you're going somewhere. You don't know completely how to get there. What do? We turn on the GPS. The global positioning system bounces off of satellites, come back and tells you where you are. I remember an older lady seeing this for the first time years ago in the car and saw the car moving down the road. And she turned and she said, "How does it know? How does it know where we are?" Well, you know, I'm glad there's technology that it knows and, you know, we set it in. But have you ever set in your GPS, your God positioning system, and set a destination? One destination? Where you say, this is where we want to go. This is what I'm going to go. I'm going to set a destination. I'm praying that this week you're going to set a destination. You're going to plug it in. Now, to help us, I wrote down just thought provokers to go deeper. Now, this is not that you have to do all this. This is just, I just wanted to write down some things to get us thinking, for you to think of this. And there's seven areas of our life that I saw, and I just wrote them here, and you can see, and I wrote them up for you to take home with you. They're also in this book in a little more detail, with easier to work it out if you get this book at the end. But the first one is to go deeper in your prayer and Christ's life. So here's some thoughts. How much time would you like to spend with the Lord each day? What would that destination be? If you were where you were supposed to be, what would that look like at your destination? What main character trait of Christ's life would you like to grow in? Love, integrity, forgiveness, excellence? Which one are you sensing God saying, you need to grow in that? I want to move you towards that. Or it might be the development of God-given abilities and talents. What gift, skill, or abilities given by God would you like to grow in? What is your motivational gift? What are you good at? You see, whatever you're good at, God made you good at that. And if you can not only use that in your natural life, but you can use that for the kingdom. Use your gift and a talents for the kingdom. See what God wants to accomplish and align your life to that. See your physical health and fitness. Ooh, don't talk about that. When you step on the scale, what number do you want to see come up? How often would a camera see you exercising each week? Well, if you join Denise's class Thursday at 7:30, you'll be exercising. You say, well, that's not spiritual. Listen, we are body, soul, and spirit. You are an entity. And it all works together. Spiritual, your mind, but your physical body. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the scripture says. And we need to keep our body. And so these are just provokers, things to get you to think about. D, family relationships. What would a video camera record of your conversations with your spouse? What would you be doing in the evenings? If you're at your destination, what would it look like, that destination? See, you got to set it in. You have to make spiritual goals tangible. And always think, what would a video camera record if I'm at my destination? Very, very important. That's a key if you're going to reach your destination. What programs would I be watching? What activities would show with your children if you're at your right destination in your family? Now, here's another one, financial responsibilities. How much would you be giving? How much would you be saving? How much would you be earning? How much would you be spending? These are things you need to ask and say, Lord, give me a vision for this. Natural work or vocation. How can you be salt and light in your workplace? How can you grow in excellence at your work? What work would I be doing in a year's time? Prayerfully consider these things before the Lord, because that's a part of your life. And you need to say, Lord, what would that be? Salt and light in the workplace. How would I be visible and verbal and be winsome? Because you don't have to be visible and verbal and no one likes you. That's not God's will. The Bible says that they grew in favor with God and man, that early church. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they grew in favor with God and man because you're serving and you're loving and you're caring for people, but you're also a verbal and visible witness of the things of God. See, what's that destination? What would it look like? Be intentional. Say, I want to be there. I want to get off the ground. I want to fly in these areas. Here's another one, your last one, church and community involvement. What church ministry would you be working in if you were at the destination God wants you to be in this area? What influence would you have with your friends, neighbors, and people in your community where you live? How would you influence your community? We were just in a seminar 2 weeks ago, well, a little longer than 2 weeks ago, in St. Thomas, and the seminar was "The Church Has Left the Building." What a great seminar. The whole thing was, how does the church, when it leaves the building, how does that influence? That spoke to me. But see, I've got to get intentional about that if I'm going to be an influence in my community and if the church is going to be an influence. That's why we're doing this walk of lights. We're hoping that we'll have, dare I say it, thousands of people go through this walk of lights, hearing the witness of Christ because this church is touching our community. I believe we can do it. But we're going to have to do it together and have a vision for it. So here are the areas. And I want you to think these things through and say, Lord, these seven areas. So what I'd encourage you is to sit down prayerfully this week and write out. See, write it out. Write it out. You know what they found? People that fulfill their goals, 90% of them have written them down. Only 10% of the people that don't write their goals achieve them. Now, folks, that's remarkable. That's just a natural thing. You know what it is? It's focus. You can have a good intention. Oh, I want to do that. And you sort of turn it in your mind, but you never focus on it. You never do one thing. You never put an effort. You never run hard at it. It's just sort of there. It's a good intention. And then we just go around in circles. Our spiritual walk is just going around in circles. Round and around we go in our spiritual walk. We want to go deeper. We want to go higher. We want to have a destination. And so write it down. Make the effort to write it down. Well, I'm not a writer. Write it down. Shorthand, write it down. You don't even write sentences. Just write it down. I'm telling you, if you don't, then you're not running hard. You're not focused. You'll be where you are a year from now, experiencing the blessings of God from time to time, like the song says. Folks, I'm talking to myself as well as you. I've made a commitment in my own mind. I'm doing this. I'm not just going to challenge you. I'm going to do it. So every one of these areas, write down what the destination God wants you to have. Now, here's the real key as we close this all off this morning. You've got to bring it down to one. So here's what I would say to you. After you write these seven things out, ask yourself, if I could arrive at that destination in a moment, which one would I arrive at? That's a good indication of the priority God has for you. Then I want you to forget the other six and focus on that one. And just focus in, zero in it like never before. Be like a laser on it. I'm going to do this. I'm focusing in on this. I'm believing God. I'm praying. I'm exercising my faith. I'm forgetting the things that are behind. I'm not listening to Satan. I'm moving forward. I'm going to arrive at that destination. I'm setting in the destination. Now, here's what I found in a lot of this reading on this. They say that as you focus on one thing, the other six will automatically begin, you'll start to move towards them. Because the skills and abilities that you're focusing on the one issue will begin to bleed over into the others. And it doesn't mean that at a later time you wouldn't even focus in on the others. But I'm just saying, if you put the tip of the arrow in one thing, all the rest of the arrow follows. And so you've written down seven things, but you can't focus on seven things together and have an intensity. You need to bring it down to one thing. Say, that's my destination. And then just look out and see what God does. Lord, I want this for myself. Lord, I want it for every person here. Are you excited about reaching your destination? Are you excited about flying and being what God wants you to be? Are you listening to the enemy that says it won't be for you? You can't do that. That's for others. It's not you. You don't have the abilities. You don't have the talents. You're too old. You know what? If you're breathing here today, God's got a plan for your life. He has a destination for you. No one's exempt from this. I want to reach the goal. I'm going to press towards it, like Paul said, with my whole heart. And if you feel that way, why don't you stand with me this morning? Amen. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, just lift your hand. Lord, we lift our hands. We say, Lord, we want to go for the things of God with our whole heart. We're no longer content just to talk about things. Lord, we're setting a destination. We're going to start. We're putting an energy forward. I'm going to rely on you, Lord, to empower me in things I have not done in the past, but I'm going to do it. I'm pressing in. Lord, I ask that everyone here, that you will empower them, show them, even spiritually, Lord, I ask that you would just set that destination. Even now as we're praying, I think for some of you, it's coming to your mind right now what that destination is. You know it. You've longed for it, but you've just never felt you could get there. But the Lord is saying that's your destination. That's where he wants you to focus on. Lord, I ask right now that you just seal it in. Oh, Lord, I ask that you just seal that right now into people's hearts. And as they go through these exercises, that we will not be slothful, but we'd be diligent, running hard to win the prize. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name for myself, for the leaders of this church, for every member that's here. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm excited about what's going to happen. So, be part of a small group, or if you can't be a small group, get the worksheet, booklet, and we'll see where God leads us. Next week, we're going to talk about mapping the route. Very important. Don't miss next week. Mapping the route. Go in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed.